CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with my colleague Gregory Copley of Defense and Foreign Affairs. And Gregory and I are of an age to enjoy King Charles much. He is a well-read and long educated about kingship. And he is now attending Brandenburg Gate in Berlin. This is all symbolism. It's also a joy to consider that what remained of Berlin in 1945 for the Potsdam Conference, July of 45, was the Brandenburg Gate. There wasn't anything else that I can see in the photograph standing. The whole city was rubble and bodies under the rubble. When President Truman took a tour in a break in the Potsdam Conference, he was shocked. Everybody was shocked as to what Allied bombing had done to Berlin. Now the new king is traveling to Berlin. France and Germany are his first foreign visit. And he's going to address the Bundestag. He's also going to visit the remains of a church bombed by the Allies. Gregory, how you're a member of the Commonwealth. I'm not. I'm an outsider. How does the Commonwealth see King Charles's visit to the Brandenburg Gate to walk under those columns and reflect upon 1945?
Well, I think it's symbolic for Britain to see, and Germany, to see King Charles and Queen Camilla in Berlin. He's going on the 26th of March. He leaves to have state visits to France and Germany, and that's going to do a lot for UK-European Union relations. It's going to do a lot to reassure Germany that, in fact, they are in an harmonious relationship with the UK. That's all well and good. I think the rest of the Commonwealth doesn't really care so much about that visit. They're waiting for King Charles to make his official or state visits, royal tours to the Commonwealth countries themselves. And, of course, the degree to which those visits are being anticipated depends on the country you're talking to. The Labour governments in New Zealand and Australia are not going to be happy to see the King and Queen visiting them in the near future, because that would only restore a lot of the momentum in favour of the monarchy in Australia and New Zealand, where both the Labour governments are seeking to move toward a republican form of government. They're unlikely to do so whether or not the king goes to Australia or New Zealand, because the sentiment in both of those countries is that the only stability they have and the only protection that people have from the government is coming from the Crown's protection of the Constitution. And arguably, the Crown is stronger in Australia and New Zealand in protecting constitutional rights than it is in even the United Kingdom, because as we saw in the 1990s, when the Australian Prime Minister Gough Whitlam got out of hand, the Governor General terminated his government and said, if you will not abide by the Constitution, I'm dissolving the government and calling new elections, which is something which the Queen at that time, now the King, would find difficult to do in the UK. They'd have to rely on more legal safeguards, not coming directly from the palace.
The King's visit to Brandenburg. It means something in terms of those of us who've learned from our parents' generation the sacrifice and the risk and the violence of the Second War. Germany was crushed by the Allied bombing. British bombing, American bombing, day, night, Berlin was wiped out. It makes Germany hesitate, Gregory. I'm told constantly there's always the ghost of the war, though nobody much alive anymore was there. It's a memory. King Charles in going there, is this an effort to reunite these two countries? Because they were very close before the misery of the First War. And they even tried to restore their relations in the interregnum. But the Second War darkened it again. Is there hope to restore the relationship? You used to be an English gentleman if you took a walking tour in Bavaria.
Absolutely. Well, the reality is that Britain has been, for the past few decades, the most important export market for Germany. And the removal of the British market to a degree with Britain's exit from the European Union is profoundly important for the German economy. So it's not just a matter of sentiment, it's a matter of trade. Now, King Charles is also going to be laying a wreath at the Arc de Triomphe in Paris, and will address and he'll meet with President Emmanuel Macron, who has been hot and cold with his relationship with Britain, but basically likes the royal family in Britain. But the ceremony of remembrance at the Arc de Triomphe is going to be significant because the French people do not wish to be reminded that they had to rely on Britain in particular, and the United States secondarily, to regain their freedom after the Nazi occupation of World War II. So the presence of the king in Paris is going to have to be conducted fairly carefully so that it's not seen as one of, well, we saved you and we're coming back to remind you of that fact, because the French don't like to be reminded of that fact. And when Ivan visited the battlefields of the Somme to see where my relatives had fought, and some of them died in World War I, and went back to Paris, my Parisian friend said, well, why did you go there? And I told them that this was an important thing for Australia, and attributed some 40,000 Australian deaths.
We have 30 seconds, Gregory. Go ahead.
To save France. And they did not want to know about that. And I said, well, in that case, next time you're in trouble, don't call on your allies to save you. Now, it was a fairly rude thing to say in Paris, but the reality is that this is going to be a delicate mission for King Charles, both in Paris and in Berlin.
Gregory Copley, editor and publisher of Defense and Foreign Affairs. The past is never dead. It's not even past. I'm John Bashley.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.